Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I change my own oil in my car. It's cheaper, it's easier, and I know that it's going to be done right. So what tool do you think I would use to remove the drain plug? Could you do it with a pliers, a pair of pliers? Probably a vice grips would be better. I think a crescent wrench, or even a small monkey wrench would do in a pinch. And when you change your oil, do you let it drain out on the floor and then dump maybe 50 pounds of the oil soak up thing on the floor? Or maybe there's a better way. Maybe there's a better way. When Jesus answers what he answers, we ask which things, at what time. He says, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. At what time? Which things? Well, looking back, we have to go about to the beginning of chapter 11 to see what things at that time. He talked to them about things like crops that were ripe for plucking, and then he sent 12 men out to harvest that crop. Stephen Ambrose, in his book, Band of Blood Brothers, notes that the men who were chosen to invade the Normandy beaches on June 6, 1944, were mostly not professional soldiers. They were, he calls them, citizen soldiers who had never been in battle and who really didn't know what they were getting into. Ambrose thinks it would have been harder to get men who knew what they were getting into. 10,000 American casualties on June 6, 1944. And to be a citizen apostle, we might say, was going to be hard. But we note that Jesus does not sugarcoat that. First off, he says, you aren't going to get paid. You will have to depend on the kindness of strangers, and not all strangers are going to be kind. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. And the civil authorities are going to oppose you. And the church is going to oppose you. And family, they're going to betray you. And you will be hated by all. But don't take it personally. They don't really hate you. They hate me through you. And then in case you missed it the first time, your family may oppose you, and that may include violence, like it included violence for Joy. Take up your cross, he says, the instrument of suffering and torture. And if you endure all that, then you are worthy. Meaning, don't be surprised when those things happen to you. It's kind of the norm for the Christian religion. People observe, and it's true, that early Christianity was very successful. It spread around very quickly, a lot of people, and they wonder why. Why Christianity spread so quickly and so thoroughly. Some of them think that Jesus must have been a pretty good salesman. He sold his religion to the 12 and beyond. Got them fired up to get out there and spread the word. If Amway had been there, they might have said, Jesus would have been right there too, they think. John the Baptist, he's in prison. Do you think that he heard Jesus say those things? You know, about torture, suffering, family. And maybe that's what caused John the Baptizer to have a little rethink about this religion of Jesus. And that's when John sent people, his people, to Jesus with this question, are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another? Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another? Not everybody believes that John the Baptizer was doubting or questioning that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. They think that would be a bad thing to do, and John couldn't have done that. John the Baptist had, after all, been the first to proclaim him to be just that, the Christ. But it happens. It happens. I and Luther recognize that the imprisoned John was indeed doubting, had questions, because the text is clear. John was doubting. Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus' short answer to the disciples of John, go tell John what you see and hear. And as they, the disciples of John, went away, they're walking away after Jesus told them what he told them, Jesus began to speak to the crowds, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? So they were walking away. And do you suppose they kept walking away? I doubt it. I think they probably turned on a dime, listened, and heard more about suffering, persecution, imprisonment. And those things, Jesus says in answer to their question, are you the Messiah, or shall we look for another? The answer is essentially, those things, imprisonment, suffering, even death, are not foreign to the Messiah. Those things are not foreign to the kingdom of God. In fact, those things are part and parcel of Jesus and of his kingdom. Besides all those things he had already mentioned, maybe repeating the same idea in a different way, beginning with John the Baptizer, he says, the kingdom of heaven will suffer violence, and violent men will snatch it away. And Jesus continues to preach. He says people are always going to criticize, think nothing of it. Then words of judgment on the unrepentant, and at that time, when he had said all those things, at that time Jesus, it says he declared, actually the word is he answered, which means he's still going back to that original question, are you the Christ, or shall we look for another? At that time Jesus continued to answer, turning his mind upward then, the Son talks to the Father about any who might question or doubt that he is the Christ, the Messiah. Jesus, the Son, says to his Father, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to babies. And they must have thought, we're standing right here. We're standing right here. The answer is yes. This is what it means to be a Christian. He is the Messiah, and these things are going to happen to Messiah, and they're going to happen to those who follow Messiah. Are you aware of that bizarre advertising campaign with the tagline, he gets us? He gets us. The he is Jesus, as in Jesus gets us. And that sounded to me kind of bizarre, so I looked it up. It's put on by some Christians with money. My generation has a lot of money. And what are we going to do with that money? In this country, what you do with your money doesn't end when you die. You can continue to spend your money long after you are dead. I have one word for you. Andrew Carnegie and his foundation is still around. So I looked it up. And these Christians who are still alive perceive that Christianity has gotten a bad rap among some Americans. So we need to sell this thing. We need to sell our religion to the Americans. To Americans who hate Christianity. And they do. A lot of them do. So that's Jesus gets it. And I'm not sure still what that means, but when it comes up at the ball game, Jesus believed in his teammates too. I appreciate the effort. It's just kind of bizarre. And I haven't seen that for a while. I haven't been watching much baseball these days. I asked my brother-in-law, who's from Chicago, the other day, is this what it's been like for you people all these years watching bad baseball? Jesus believed in his teammates. Oh, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. And whether his teammates, it's kind of bizarre, are all Christians or disciples of John or John the Baptizer or the 12th. Oh, no, he didn't. Jesus is all-knowing, but he must actually have wondered if they, if we, are going to be able to cut it with all that negative. Up to this point, the 12, for example, had often been frivolous, sometimes weak faith, sometimes it seems unbelieving. He had no reason whatsoever to believe in his teammates. We observe, in fact, many are not able to cut it. Many fall away. We all know people who are former Christians. I know too many men who are former pastors, and some of them are former Christians. But it is consistent in Jesus, and we see it again here, that he thinks highly of the children. Thinks highly of the children. And when James and John wanted to have the best seats in the kingdom, in heaven, in response to that attempt to make Christianity into a competitive religion, Jesus tells them to become like children. Become like children. Children compete all the time, but not about religion. And the children don't question or doubt the things they learn about Jesus. They don't question things like the miracles, the will of God, not until they get older, and then they become adults. Katie barred the door. And those are these things Jesus had spoken in response to the question, are you the Messiah, or shall we look for another? Does this Messiahship, this Christianity, really mean all that suffering and imprisonment and hatred? At that time, Jesus answered, I thank you, Father, that you have revealed these things to babies. Yes, Father, for this was your gracious will. The Father revealed these and other things to the Son, and the Son chooses to whom he will reveal these things, and Jesus, he chooses to reveal his teachings to a lot of people, including the children. So, it's a Toyota. My cars are all Toyotas. So, of course, the 14-millimeter socket is the tool for the job. And you know, if you drain your oil into a container, it's a lot easier to control. Works better. Yeah, you can pop the plug with the pliers, but it's harder. And you can drain the oil onto the floor, but it's a tough cleanup. The wrong tool or yoke makes it harder. And I think life is hard enough without making it harder. And Jesus invites them and you to come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's the word for the Sabbath day, for the Jews today, Saturday. The writer to the Hebrews, writing to Jewish people, says that Jesus is our Sabbath rest. On Sunday and Monday, and on all the days of the week, 24/7, Jesus is our Sabbath rest, and I will give you rest, he says. So we were up in Anchorage a couple weeks ago, you know. Rode up to Wasilla. I know what you're thinking. We did not see Sarah Palin at the Walmart, but it's probably because we did not go to the Walmart in Wasilla. But we did see Iditarod Musher Riley placed 16th last year in the Iditarod. Saw him and his dog team. There wasn't any snow, but Riley had a wheeled cart, and for $20 each, those dogs are pretty good pullers. I like what they're doing. 1,000 miles from Anchorage to Nome. He said 4 hours on, 4 hours off, over a week, about 100 miles a day. That's a lot of pulling for those dogs. And each dog is put into a harness specially built for that dog. Contact points are on the neck and the ribs of the animal, then lines. The lead goes to move the sled, and if the harness doesn't fit well, if it rubs too tight or too loose, over 1,000 miles, it's like if you're backpacking or riding your bike a long distance. You want to make your adjustments for a good fit to avoid the pack digging into you or those sore, we call them seat muscles. Jesus never said his yoke was easy, because it's not. Horse expert Lyle remembers how when he was a boy in the 30s, the horse pulled the cultivator through the cornfield at the end of Jenny Redmond Road between Sherrard and Sweetona. The plants were 36 inches apart, so you get the horse through both ways. The yoke for the horse worked the same way that the harness works for the dogs and that the backpack works for the humans. That yoke on the horse needed to fit well. And that's what Jesus said about his yoke. He did not say that it was easy, but his yoke is well-fitting. Fits you well. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And that's that word we talked about a couple weeks ago. Have a thorough and continuing understanding of Jesus and his religion. And that can be a lot of work, but it doesn't have to be. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is well-fitting, and my burden is light. And you pull together, like the sled dogs, it's easier. You pull against one another, it's harder. Whether we're talking about marriage or life, congregational life, it's amazing what dogs and horses can do with a well-fitting yoke, and Christianity is the right fit for people. Jesus says that, and I see it all the time. With a well-fitting yoke, his burden is light, especially when you compare it to other religions that are hard, that are burdensome, that make you work really hard, and you end up in hell. Well-fitting, and the word means suitable for the occasion. Yeah, you can fight with that plug and drain your used oil onto the floor, and that cleanup is messy. You can wash each cup and plate and piece of silver by hand. Works. I like the dishwasher. Paul confessed to spending too much of his life before God chose him, kicking against the goads. Kicking against the goads. And a goad is a pointy stick. And you can kick at that stick all you want. Not a good fit. Not suitable for humans to be kicking against the goads all the time. The yoke, Christianity, is well-fitting. Which, and it, in the end, it does make life, is hard, isn't it? And there's no reason to make it harder, is there? Come to him here, who is our Sabbath rest. Here, where we leave behind whatever's going on out there, and come here to listen to him and his word, to receive him where he comes to us in that word and sacrament, and here, find rest for your soul. Amen. peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.